for headlines. President Raisi says Iran's enemies have failed in their new plots to hinder the country's progress. Brazilians cast their votes in the first round of a polarized presidential election, with leftist Lula da Silva expected to beat right-wing incumbent Jair Bolsonaro. And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the key town of Lyman in the eastern Donetsk region is now fully cleared of Russian forces. Thanks for joining us. Iran's president has blamed the Western media hype over the recent unrest in the country. He says that enemies have failed in their new plots to hinder the country's progress. Ebrahim Raisi says the enemies launched a campaign to isolate Iran at a time when it was prevailing over economic problems and becoming more active on the regional and international stage. Earlier, the chief commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps also vowed a crushing response to, quote, destructive U.S., U.K., and Saudi media campaigns against Iran. Major General Hossein Salami said that Iran's enemies launched the political and media campaign to make up for the U.S. decline. He also said that they don't want to allow the existence of a powerful, influential, and sovereign country ruled by Islam. Also in Iran, a funeral procession has been held for the security forces killed during a terrorist attack in the southeastern Sistan and Balochistan province. Senior local and military officials attended the ceremony in the provincial capital Zahedan. On Friday, members of a separatist group staged an armed attack on a police station and vandalized public property in Zahedan. They opened fire on security forces, as well as worshippers who were in the area following Friday prayers. Security forces moved in quickly to repel the attack. Provincial officials initially said 19 people had been killed in the violence. The ground force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps in the southeast says that 5 security forces lost their lives. Academic and political analyst Alexander Azadgan says he believes the Saudi government was behind the recent deadly terror attack in southeastern Iran.
It's very important for Iranian officials at the highest level to visit Sistan and Balochistan province to send a solid symbolic message to Saudi Arabia. You ask me who's behind this, and it's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is the second state sponsor of terror around the world. They support terrorist groups, whether it's ISIS, ISIS-K, or Al-Qaeda, or all these other groups. There's one in Algeria that doesn't, in Nigeria that doesn't come to my mind, Boko Haram. And this is what they're doing right now. They are taking advantage of the anti-hijab media momentum when Iran itself has stretched itself thin in different fronts. And let's not forget, there are several fronts with this. Obviously, the attack, Sistan, Balochistan, and specifically Zahedan, Saudi Arabia not only supports this financially, but Saudi Arabia funds an anti-Iran propaganda channel out of London. Obviously, I'm not going to call the, you know, mention their name. Let's just call them the voice of Saudi Arabia, because that's what they do.
Israel has voiced optimism over a U.S. proposal to resolve the regime's dispute with Lebanon over offshore gas fields. Prime Minister Yair Lapid says the U.S. proposal strengthens Israel's security and economy. He says that Israel is discussing the final details of the proposal. The draft agreement proposed by U.S. envoy Amos Hochstein was delivered to Lebanese and Israeli officials during the weekend. Lebanon is now studying the 10-page draft, which paves the way for offshore energy exploration. They have pledged to deliver a reply as quickly as possible. Resistance movement Hezbollah has warned that it may attack Israel if it begins production from the disputed gas fields before the issue is settled. Hezbollah says the coming days would be crucial for the issue. It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. People in Brazil are heading to the polls in one of the country's most divisive presidential elections in decades. voting is compulsory for over 156 million eligible Brazilians. 11 candidates are on the ballot, but the main contenders are the far-right incumbent Jair Bolsonaro and the leftist former president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Campaigning has been bitter, with the two candidates exchanging insults. Opinion polls show that Lula has a double-digit lead over Bolsonaro, putting him on course for an outright first-round victory. Upon casting his ballot, Lula said that he is running for president to bring the country back to normal and to establish peace. Bolsonaro, meanwhile, expressed confidence that he would win, saying that clean elections have to be respected. Camila Escalante is a correspondent joining us from Sao Paulo for an update on this. Daniel Shaw is a Latin American expert joining us also from Sao Paulo. Welcome to you both. So, Camila, at this point, what are we looking at? Are we looking at that outright victory that many say may be a possibility at this point?
Well, as I said earlier, the polls, the final exit polls that were released yesterday show very promising signs for former President Lula da Silva. He has 50 to 51% in the IPAC poll, as well as the Datafolha poll, and we're still looking at around 35% for Jair Bolsonaro. I think people are mindful of that when they're out at the polls today, and they believe that it's their duty. In large part, a majority of the country will either be voting for Lula today out of the 154 million people eligible to vote. And the polls that we've seen throughout the course of this campaign have said that even more than 50% will be headed to the polls if there is a second round to vote for Lula. So they just want to seal the deal. It really seems overwhelmingly that he's the favored candidate in today's vote.
When you take a look at this vote, Daniel Shaw, obviously for Brazil itself, it's important in terms of, let's say, the economy. But what about from the outside, in terms of the interaction that Brazil will have? And in this case, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, that it's going to be under Lula da Silva. What kind of relationship will Brazil have with the world?
The relationship with the world, the foreign policy of Lula and Bolsonaro, there couldn't be a starker difference. Lula's victory, whether it's today, hopefully it's today on October 2nd, or it could be on October 30th, because there's two other candidates that could get 3 to 8% of the vote, forcing a second round. But the foreign policy of these two candidates couldn't be more different. A Lula victory means further South American unity and integration. He's floated the idea of the sur, a currency that's existed for so long on the dollar. The Brazilian people, the South American people, all oppressed people are sick of dollar dependency, and this unipolar world that exists will mean a more multipolar world. It will mean that Brazil will rejoin the ranks of Mercosur, of Unasur, hopefully of Telesur. All of these multilateral Latin American organizations that Bolsonaro forced Brazilian to leave. And of course, the BRICS, the unity of Brazil, South Africa, Russia, India, and China will be fortified, which represents a high percentage of the world GDP. So certainly, Washington has all eyes on Brazil, as does all of humanity today.
Camila, at this point, are we getting any indications, or are you getting any indications, either from the people or from the camp of Jair Bolsonaro or he himself, in terms of how they're going to receive the election results? Are we looking at perhaps some crisis breaking out because of it?
It's difficult to say. In recent weeks, he has said some things to the tune of that he would be gracefully leaving office and handing over the sash if in case he does lose. I think we're going to begin to get a picture right as the polls close at 5 p.m. when we begin to see those exit polls released. And Lula da Silva actually has a scheduled event at 7 p.m., which he is supposed to be speaking. The election results are supposed to come out quite quickly. And so we'll know right away what the plan is going forward of Jair Bolsonaro. Lula da Silva this morning, when he was voting, he cast his vote in his home city of San Bernardo do Campo. And he said that what Brazilians want, I mean, they're not thinking of all of these different things necessarily international, which are very important and geopolitically strategic for other countries of our region, but they're thinking about their most basic necessities, and the most pressing issues, such as their ability to feed their families three times a day, such as being able to access employment and a decent, dignified salary, housing, and things like this. He's saying that what they're asking for is very basic. And I believe that's what people have been telling us over and over and over again, that people just want to return to normalcy. They say this entire country was destroyed and its economy because of the mismanagement of its government during the pandemic. And they would like to see the management handed back over to the Workers' Party.
Thank you very much, Camila Escalante there, correspondent from Sao Paulo. Also from Sao Paulo, Daniel Shaw, thank you so much, Latin American expert. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. The Ukrainian president says the key town of Lyman in the eastern Donetsk region is now fully cleared of Russian forces. Volodymyr Zelensky has made the announcement in a short video clip on his Telegram channel. Just a day earlier, Russia said that it was withdrawing its troops from their months-long stronghold in the north of Donetsk region. President Vladimir Putin days ago officially declared the annexation of four Ukrainian regions to Russia. He said that people in Donetsk, Kherson, Zaporizhia, and Luhansk will remain Russian citizens forever. Moscow says people in the four regions have voted overwhelmingly to join the Russian Federation in referendums held last week. But Ukraine and its Western allies have called the votes illegal and a sham. From Donetsk, our correspondent Johnny Miller joined us earlier for more details on recent Ukrainian advances.
Ukrainian army has, it looks like, captured Lyman. Now, Lyman is strategically important place in Donetsk. The Russians certainly put up a major fight over the last few days in order to try and keep hold of it. I have seen many videos posted by Ukrainians on their Telegram channels of dead Russian soldiers and captured Russian soldiers, some of whom are being mistreated. Of course, this is part of a wider offensive by the Ukrainians started a few weeks ago, in which they did take back large areas of the Kharkov region. Russia didn't really fight for those regions, but what's different about Lyman is that Russia really did try to hold on to the town. Ukraine has also been trying to take Kherson with not much success in the south. So this is a major victory, at least in the short term, by the Ukrainians. However, it's still difficult to see whether Ukraine is going to be able to advance much further. We'll see in the coming days and weeks whether they are able to, but of course Russia has just mobilized 300,000 men. It will take some weeks for many of those soldiers to get to the front line, so Russia will be hoping they're able to get here to Donbass before Ukraine is able to make any more advances. But it's still unclear whether Ukraine, its aim is to take back these four regions. It's still difficult to see whether they'll be able to make too much more advances. We'll have to wait and see on that.
Criticism continues in the UK of a new government economic plan. Hundreds of protesters have massed in Birmingham to demonstrate against Britain's ruling Conservative Party as this annual conference gets underway. The protesters are angry at the government's handling of the worst cost of living crisis. Prime Minister Liz Truss unveiled a plan last month which slashed taxes and sparked market turmoil. She argues that the cuts would help boost growth in the long term, but critics say that her plans have had a reverse outcome, with interest rates rising further and markets panicking. A raft of polls have found her economic package deeply unpopular. Ratings for the Conservative Party have also plummeted. Truss now has to move to reassure her party.
I do want to say to people, I understand their worries about what has happened this week, and I do stand by the package we announced, and I stand by the fact that we announced it quickly because we had to act. But I do accept we should have laid the ground better.
I have learnt from that,
and I will make sure that in future we do a better job of laying the ground.
The Tory leader insisted the controversial plan would deal with both the energy crisis and inflation and would return Britain to economic growth. The cost of living has been increasing across the UK since early 2021. The annual rate of inflation is at a 40-year high of over 10%. This has affected the affordability of goods and services for households, prompting strikes and protests. The deadly attack on an educational center in western Kabul on Friday has left dozens of families from the Shia Hazara community in sorrow. Now the Afghan people and clerics are calling for action to ensure the safety of the Hazara ethnic groups. And Rahmatullah Baghban reports on the Afghan capital.
Afghanistan is still reeling from Friday's bomb attack in a Shia neighborhood in Kabul that left dozens of people dead and scores of others wounded. One of the victims of the attack was 18-year-old Najiba, whose family is grieving her loss. Najiba's father says he had raised his daughter with great difficulties, but lost her in the blink of an eye.
I've had a great passion in educating my children. I'm illiterate, but love to see my children educated. However, I'm an ordinary worker, but I always supported them throughout their school with everything they needed. My daughter, Najiba, was so smart and intelligent. I was proud of her and loved her so much. I feel heartbroken that I'm not seeing her future and I've lost her forever.
Sakina Surosh, Najiba's sister and a social activist, says that systematic attacks on Shia mosques and schools must end. She calls on the UN to recognize such attacks as massacre.
My demand from the international bodies, especially the UN, is that the latest attack on Qaj Educational Center and other onslaughts on Shia community must be recognized as massacre and Hazara genocide. These attacks are systematically targeting innocent people from a specific ethnic group. The UN should not neglect in this regard and must take practical steps to protect persecuted Hazaras.
Beside international bodies and human rights groups, Afghanistan Shia Clerics Council has called for an investigation into such attacks. The council called on the global community to end their silence on the miseries of Shia Hazaras in Afghanistan.
Afghan clerics strongly condemn the attack on education and innocent students. We seriously call on the Taliban to take urgent and practical actions for ensuring security for all, especially Hazara people. The organizers and financiers of such crimes should be brought to justice. The international community must end their silence on the plight of Hazara people in Afghanistan.
Reuters said the Daesh terrorist group has been responsible for 13 attacks against Hazaras since the Taliban's return to power. The attacks have killed or wounded at least 700 people from the community. The latest bomb attack has shocked people here. They are calling on the international community not to turn a blind eye on the plight of Shia Hazaras in Afghanistan. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
And that is it for World News. That's bye-bye for now.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
radio. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 2nd, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. So, here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners around the world who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mahfuz Rahman from Bangladesh, Thomas Kotas from Poland, and David Mabi from Finland. David, Mahfuz Rahman, and Thomas, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and the program Listeners Special. And of course, we've received many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read these great emails. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Muhammad Abdullah. From Spain, we've received an email from Ewald Glatsching, if I'm right in pronouncing your name, Ewald. And Heike Pranen from Finland has sent us an email. Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Japan from Toshiya Nishimura. Thank you very much for being with us. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Muhammad says. Take my cordial love and thanks. I am a Bangladeshi radio listener monitor. For the past 38 years, I have listened international radio broadcast of different radio stations of the world. I'm very interested to monitor your station. Please send your recent or current frequency schedule with necessary reception report, and if possible, please send some other information about your station. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and of course, IRIB English Radio to you, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, and please accept our warm gratitude to you for sending us this email. So, you've been listeners or monitor for international radio stations for 38 years, and that's a long time. This time it's our turn, IRIB English Radio. So we hope that this mutual relationship continues between IRIB English Radio and you. So for the time being, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, please accept our electronic QSL card as a verification to your email. And for in order to know the information about our radio station, you can refer to our website. There you can find the frequency schedule, and the address is www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Spain, we've received an email from Ewald Glatsching. Sorry if I mispronounced your name because I don't know Spanish, but Ewald says, "Dear sir or madam, I would like to start this message by sending you greetings from Spain. As introduction, let me say that I am an Austrian citizen and that, after working in the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, I have chosen to spend my retirement in the south of Spain, where I have been living now for some 3 years. The reason for me writing to you is that I was able to listen to your IRIB here in southern Spain, and I thought that that might be interesting news to you. I am enclosing an audio and hope you have a moment to listen it. Once again, let me express my pleasure because of having been able to receive the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting here in Spain. And I kindly would ask you to let me know if my report is correct and send me a verification reception, that is QSL confirmation. Thank you very much for your attention and looking forward to your reply. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and IRIB English Radio Station. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us such detailed email to us, Ewald from Spain. Although you are an Austrian citizen, thank you for that, and you have a really nice job working in the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, and that's great. Thank you for sending us this email, Ewald. We are glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region, southern Spain. It's also a pleasure to have you with us. So let us, this mutual bond and relationship between IRIB English Radio and you continue. So let us know your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best, Ewald. Thank you again. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card or EQSL card as a verification. Welcome back. From India, we've received an email from Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners. Najmuddin says, Dear staff, Assalamu alaikum. Once again, I am glad to send you yet another reception report of your station. I heard a piece of Islamic music with my favorite program, Listeners Special, in which I heard listeners' letters, emails, and message, and of course, enjoyed it very much. Kindly send me the list of new programs and frequency schedule with some used postage stamps. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India, and please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations to you for sending us this email. It's a pleasure to have you with us as a regular listener of Listeners Special and, of course, IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Najmuddin from India. For your information, as you know, in the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our listeners is temporarily halted because of the pandemic. So, in order to find the frequency schedule, you can refer to our website, as you know, with the address of www.parstoday.com/en. Yes, you can. There you can find our frequency schedule and other information. Najmuddin from India, thank you again for sending us this email. Write to us soon. We wish you all the best. And from Finland, we've received an email from Heikki Pronanen. Heikki Pronanen from Finland says, I had the pleasure of listening to you broadcast radio on medium wave. The reception was not so good. Not very good signal strength and a moderate interference from unidentified station. I enclose with this reception report a link, including MP3 file recorded during the listening. I am 53 years old and working as a testing engineer of electric equipment here in Finland. During autumn 2020, I have started DXing after 10 years. If you're interested, you can verify this reception report to reply this email. First of all, salam to you, Heikki Pronanen from Finland, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Yes, we've received your MP3 file and we listened to it. Thank you for that. And as for the trouble you had regarding the signal strength and the interference, as you said, the reception was not so good and the signal strength was not very good. We are so sorry for that. And our colleagues, the engineers and the technicians would fix that problem. If the problem is on our behalf, we will fix it very soon. Don't worry about it. But for the time being, please accept our EQSL card as confirmation. Heikki Pronanen from Finland, thank you very much for sending us this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. We wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Yes, you just received a piece of Iranian traditional music, and I like it very much. Toshio Nishimura from Japan has sent us an email. Toshio Nishimura from Japan says, Dear staff, it is with great pleasure that I report reception of your broadcasting. I would like to hear more broadcasts about different aspects of your country of Iran. Thank you for your consideration. If the details in my report are found to be correct, I would appreciate very much to receive your verification card or your letter. Such a document would also serve as a nice remembrance of contact with your station. I believe that this report will be useful to your technical department. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Toshio Nishimura from Japan, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for sending us such detailed email. Thank you for letting us know your favorite programs. As you said, you like different aspects of Iran broadcasting more programs about the different aspects of our country, Iran. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and, of course, to this program, listeners, a special Toshio Nishimura from Japan. Thank you for this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So before saying goodbye to you and before ending this program, listeners special, I would like to say thank you to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including David Mabi from Finland, Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, Thomas Kotas from Poland, Toshio Nishimura from Japan, Heike Pranen from Finland, Najmuddin from India, Ewald Glanching from Spain, and Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. Thank you again. We had a very nice time. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRI English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the minbar you are listening to. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
The Prophet says there are 10 things though of the dunya that this person will get, and there are 10 things of the akhirah that this person will get. Inshallah, we'll go through these tonight quickly. He says 10 of them in the dunya, 10 of them the akhirah. As for those that are in the dunya, number one, hub of my Ahlul Bayt is going to have the benefit of az-zuhd fi dunya. Wow. Love of Ahlul Bayt will entail the fact that I'm not too interested in this dunya. The next one, a person who loves Ahlul Bayt saw how they lived their lives, how they were with people. That individual will have al-ya'su mimma fi aydin nas. This is one of my favorites because it reflects proper tawheed and tawakkul in Allah. Person who loves Ahlul Bayt and looks at Ahlul Bayt sees that the Ahlul Bayt, where was their hope in? Their hope was only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was it. And if they had hope in people, it's because they know Allah channels. Allah channels His grace through the people. So they didn't have hope in al-ya'su mimma fi aydin nas, that which is in the hands of the people. If you notice, like someone's counting their hundreds, and you just take a look at that. You seen that guy who's driving that car, you just take a look at it, you're like, man, you know? And you might put your hope in this person. I say salam to somebody more warmly, because that person has more, maybe some of that will rub off on me. Things like that. We have hadiths for these, brothers and sisters. This goes against tawheed. This goes against tawakkul. You think that this person is going to help you? This, of course, does not mean that when people help us out, when we get services from people, we don't thank them. We have hadith for this as well. You've all heard it, right? That famous line, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْخَالِقِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْخَالِقِ. The one who doesn't say thank you to the Khalq, the creation of Allah, has as if has not said thank you to Allah Himself. At the end of the day, we will acknowledge all of this, all right? Don't be weird, people. Let's not be weird. Someone gives something to me. Thank Allah. Who are you? You're but a channel through which grace flows. That doesn't like you talking classical English. You belong somewhere else. What are you talking about? No, you thank some. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for, they said the Prophet would go to people's homes, he would eat at their homes, he would thank them for the food that they've done, made for them, for him. Yes. But will I have my hope in that? That's a different story. Al-ya'su mimma fi aydin nas. Ya's means to be hopeless. I don't have hope in with it. This person can help me. Once again, 15-year-old, 18-year-old, 22-year-old. This is something to remember and work on. And trust me, Allah will give you enough experiences through life where slowly you will reach this point, inshallah, if you're a person who has taqwa. Allah will slowly teach us that, look, these are not the ones you put your hope in. I'm the one you put your hope in. It is a learning curve. Can't walk out of this lecture and expect that now I have tawakkul the way that the Prophet talked, because I heard this hadith now. When we hear these things, oh, these are things that we move towards and work towards. Why? Because I love the Ahlul Bayt. Why do I love them? Because they're my role models. Well, what do you do with a role model? You follow them. وَالْحِفْظُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَنَهْيِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The next one, number 8, is that I observe the amr of Allah and the nahi of Allah, the wajib of Allah and the haram of Allah. I am very strict about these things. Ayatullah Bahjat, he says, if I go all the way to the hudud, the limits of to the border of Iraq for Karbala and Ziyarat, but if I have to do gunah to get in, I'm not going to do that. If I have to disobey Allah, if I have to disobey Allah to get in, I won't do that. That's how great the disobedience of Allah is. The hadith says, don't look at how small the gunah, the sin is. Look at how great the one you disobeyed is. And this is the Ahlul Bayt teaching us these things. The wajib and haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anything was going to help us more, I want you to pay attention to this line. If anything was going to help us more in getting close to Allah, or was going to put us farther away from Allah, Allah would make that thing wajib or haram. And then here we are thinking that, okay, the wajib and haram is for others, the normal people. I'm special. I'm looking for that special ingredient. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not registering what's being said. If it's super important, Allah's going to make it wajib. And if it's super harmful, He's going to make it haram. What are we looking for? I don't know what we're looking for. It's just that, you know, it gets boring. I agree. Who likes doing cardio for the rest of their lives? No, it's all about the bench press. I mean, I'll skip leg day probably, but like, it's all about chest day. It's all about biceps and triceps, correct? Who likes to do cardio all their life? But then the dude that does the bench press and all that, but he's just eating and eating as well, and like, they look as fat as everybody else. I'm sorry, it's gonna be boring, but you gotta clean up your diet, you gotta do some cardio as well to, like, you know, chisel out, you know, the fat, and you can, yeah. That which builds this individual at the end of the day, yeah, is the boring stuff. So wajib and haram, sometimes we're like, oh, it's repetitive. But yes, Allama Tabarakallah, he says the hardest, do you want to know what the hardest asceticism is? The hardest riyazat is? Yes, we have the, in Farsi we have the word murtaz, these ascetics, correct? The ones that are like in these Hindu gurus and stuff. They'll do something for 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 months. Allama Tabarakallah says, you know what's harder than that? To live a religious life, because you have to live it till the grave. No cheat days, no off days. Oh Allah, today, one night is not 1,000 nights. Huh. As a matter of fact, this one time that Allah is watching, that is gonna push you 1,000 nights. If you pass your test, and you're probably gonna fall behind, and you fail your test. Police officer pulls you over at the stop sign, red light, you pass the red light. Oh, police officer, you don't understand though. There's 100 other red lights that I actually stopped at. This is one. He's gonna be rolling on the floor, you know, laughing at you while he's writing a ticket, of course. Number 9, bughd ad-dunya, that these people don't like the dunya. Why? The dunya is going to be something that is dangerous for them, because they're afraid every moment they might just go the wrong way, and before you know it, their akhirah is sold for their dunya. And finally, al-ashira, as-sakha, generosity. What do they say? That Imam Hasan gave away all of his wealth how many times? 2 or 3 times in his lifetime. That's something, that's next level. Well, of course, they'll do that because, number one, they have al-hirsu ala al-amal, and they will work hard and regain whatever they... And number two, this generosity that they have is a manifestation of Allah's mercy and rahmah and generosity. They are a mirror through which we see Allah's light. All right, so having said all of that, these are 10 things that they have. Who? The lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Does that mean if I don't have it, I don't have love? No. As I said in the beginning, those of you who might have come later, the love of Ahlul Bayt itself, inshallah, will do wonders. But it seems, according to this and other hadiths that we have, that the imams, the holy prophet, they have an expectation. They say, you're my lover. I want to see these in you.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is Taqwa, Thursday the 2nd of Ramadan, 1394, 19 September, 1974. What does forgiveness mean? We think it is when we say to someone, I apologize, I was rude to you, please forgive me. And that person, whether with kindness and magnanimity or in any other form, says, that's okay, don't worry about it. We think it means when we do something wrong by accident and we go to the person we wronged and ask for forgiveness, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and he says, that's okay, I forgive you. We think it means when we go to a government office because you've been overcharged on your taxes and you ask them kindly to help you solve your problem. Perhaps you take someone with you, or a letter, or ask someone to call on your behalf, and they say, okay, we will refund you such and such an amount. This is how we imagine God's forgiveness. Someone does something wrong, they caused corruption in the earth, and were worthy of God's punishment. Then on the day of judgment, because of a tear they shed, or a plea they made, God will say, that's okay, I forgive you. Is that what we mean by God's forgiveness? Does this sound like something we're supposed to hasten towards? No, of course not. Outside of these lectures, we have spoken a lot about the meaning of God's forgiveness, Ghufran.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Those of you, dear brothers, who were in our discussions, try to recall what we said. Bring it out from the recesses of your minds. The Arabic word we used for forgiveness, ghufran, means to heal a wound or fill a gap. Imagine you are given a deep wound on your arm or leg and your flesh is cut open. What would you do? You'd have the wound treated. They would clean it, sew it up, give you ointment to put on, medicine and vitamins to take to help it heal, and eventually your flesh would heal and the wound would disappear. In other words, you would do everything in your power to close the wound. This is how we close a physical wound. Now let us draw a comparison between this and how to close a spiritual wound, so that we can understand the meaning of ghufran. Imagine your soul as a body, and every sin you commit is like a wound that you inflict on your body. Why do we say this? Why is a sin like a wound to one's soul? Because the soul must grow and develop, and a sin is anything that prevents the soul from doing so. So, as a wound, every sin creates a gap in the substance of your soul. So every sin you commit diminishes your soul. If, God forbid, you steal the property of others, you drink wine, you take usury, you fornicate, you lie, you fabricate, each of these acts opens a fissure in your soul. It tears the substance of your soul. It leaves your soul wounded and depleted, and far from the ideal which it is destined to reach. Now you must find forgiveness for this sin.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.